Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
Hello, I'm Tom Burgess and I'm an investigations correspondent at the FT. I used to cover West Africa and that's where I originally came across the murky tale I'm telling in these podcasts. Some of the biggest companies in the mining industry are fighting it out for control of a mountain groaning with iron ore in West Africa. It's a story of dictators, tycoons, deals worth billions, a corruption investigation that spans three continents, and the inner workings of global commerce. At the heart of this story is a company called BSG Resources, or BSGR. I'm going to tell this story through some of the evidence that's come to light and through the words of some of the central figures. Episode 4, The Magnate. In the previous episode, we heard how a government inquiry in Guinea, drawing on evidence gathered by the FBI, concluded that there'd been corruption in the granting of precious mineral licenses to BSGR. And we heard about the fight back by BSGR, which denied the allegations and called the inquiry a plot to seize its assets. But what of Benny Steinmetz himself, the man behind BSGR? Steinmetz was born into an Israeli diamond family in 1956. He did his military service, then trained in the diamond business in Antwerp. This is from the flattering biography on his official website.
An acquaintance of Benny Steinmetz once stated, "The phrase, the sky is the limit, isn't applicable to Benny. To him, the sky is merely the beginning." And indeed, it wasn't long before Benny took the business to new heights, gradually expanding its operations and successfully developing a network of contacts on the African continent. During the 90s, the business joined forces with Benny's brother Daniel, creating what is now known as SDG, Steinmetz Diamonds Group. Over the years, this hardworking visionary turned the contacts he had developed early in his career into long-lasting relationships and business opportunities in countries such as South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, and India, to name but a few. To this day, these connections continue to grow and expand beyond the business's foundation in diamonds into vast global interests. What began as a young local business has today become a multifaceted empire. The Steinmetz brand today occupies the top tiers of a number of industries, including real estate, mining, minerals, financing, oil and gas, and several others, and continues to grow.
Steinmetz lived in Belgium for years, then moved to Israel in 1996. In 2010, the year that BSGR signed its blockbuster Guinea iron ore deal with Vale of Brazil, Steinmetz, his wife and their children moved to the lakeside Swiss city of Geneva, where they live today. A billionaire whose company provides diamond-encrusted steering wheels for Formula One cars, Steinmetz rarely speaks to the press. In 2012, he gave an interview to the Financial Times in which he played up his reputation as a man prepared to do business where others fear to tread. His words are read by an actor.
BSGR pursues these opportunities in an aggressive way. You have to do it hands-on. It's difficult. You have to get your hands dirty.
The following year, after the scandal over BSGR's Guinean dealings had erupted, Steinmetz gave an interview to a New Yorker reporter on the French Riviera, where his yacht was moored. His words are read by an actor.
I'm totally open, totally transparent. I never lie, as a principle.
Steinmetz added,
I don't consider myself a public person.
Steinmetz compared the mining business to roulette. You take risks, and sometimes you get lucky. He insisted that BSGR didn't pay bribes. Formally, Benny Steinmetz is only an advisor to BSGR, which stands for Benny Steinmetz Group Resources. The company's ownership structure is complex, snaking through Liechtenstein and Guernsey. But in court papers filed by Steinmetz's lawyers, he's described as BSGR's main financial beneficiary. Cross-referencing court documents and wiretap transcripts makes it clear that Steinmetz is the unnamed alleged co-conspirator referred to in US prosecutors' accounts of the attempts by former BSGR intermediary Frederick Sillins to obstruct their investigation. Sillins told Mamadi Touré during their secretly recorded conversation near her home in Florida that Steinmetz had given him instructions to get her to destroy the documents that purportedly laid out the bribery scheme. And Mamadi Touré herself placed Steinmetz at meetings with her and her husband. Here's her sworn statement again. There's no date given for these events, but the details suggest that, if it happened as she says it did, it was in 2006 or thereabouts. It might seem confusing. When she talks about Simandou North and South, she means the smaller iron ore deposits, also known as Zogota, close to the main one that BSGR ultimately secured as well, the main one being called Simandou Blocks 1 and 2. Her words are read by an actor.
Steinmetz asked to see me, and I met Steinmetz and others. Steinmetz said that he was happy that I had helped BSGR to obtain permits for Simandou North and South. Steinmetz said that he wanted more help with the president to obtain Simandou Blocks 1 and 2. Steinmetz offered me 5% of BSGR's turnover in Guinea. Steinmetz said that I should discuss Simandou Blocks 1 and 2 with the president.
BSGR's representatives strongly dispute Mamadi Touré's account. A person familiar with BSGR, who declined to be named or to show me any evidence, spoke to me in 2014. His words here are read by an actor.
Benny Steinmetz looks forward to proving with passports and other evidence that he never set foot in Guinea until 2008.
BSGR paints an altogether different picture of what's happening in Guinea. It alleges a conspiracy against the company orchestrated by President Alpha Condé, his billionaire advisor George Soros, and assorted others from South African spies to Western campaign groups and junior mining companies. This is Dag Cremer, a BSGR director who operates from an office in London's Mayfair, summarising the company's position in a court filing in the UK last November. It was part of an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to stop the UK anti-corruption squad from cooperating with Guinea's bribery investigation. Again, his words are read by an actor.
Alpha Condé had plainly determined to revoke BSGR's mining licences by one means or other, well in advance of the commencement of the review process, in order to reward his supporters.
Regardless of what you might make of BSGR's theory, there have certainly been mining scandals on Condé's watch. The president acknowledged in an interview with me in 2013 that corruption was deeply rooted in Guinea.
No, c'est pas facile parce que évidemment avec 50 ans de mauvaise gouvernance, de mauvaises habitudes de corruption, de très mauvaises habitudes.
It's not easy because clearly with 50 years of misrule, of bad habits of corruption, these bad habits have set in. But I think these days there is truly also the will to change things.
But since BSGR's rights to the northern half of Simandou were cancelled a year ago, they haven't been given to anyone. The Ghanaian government is working on a tender and hopes to attract bids from heavyweight mining companies. Not so fast, says BSGR. This is Mark Strook, BSGR's head of mining and metals, speaking in March this year to Mining Weekly in South Africa. When he mentions ICSID, that's the International Centre for Settlement of Investment Disputes, where BSGR has sought international arbitration against the government of Guinea over the decision to cancel its rights.
And I say it categorically here again, that anybody that tries or tenders or tries to get these assets, we will start legal proceedings against them in any applicable jurisdiction. These assets were illegally confiscated. They cannot be tendered until such time that we've gone through ICSID. And it might take a while. That's just how the cookies crumbled, but that's how it is.
Rio Tinto still holds the southern half of the Simandou deposit. In 2011, it paid $700 million to settle its outstanding disputes with Guinea's government. It's agreed a $20 billion plan to start mining Simandou and exporting its ore, along with its partner, Chinalco of China. But, like the iron ore price, the planned date for first production has slipped and slipped again. No one's holding their breath. BSGR's threat to go to court and the myriad legal proceedings already underway have left the northern half of Simandou tangled up in writs. A flood of revenue from Simandou could spell trouble for Guinea, as it has in many of its West African neighbours, by choking off other sectors of the economy and encouraging corruption. But for the present, the ore remains underground. And Guinea is battling not just with the titans of the mining industry, but with a prolonged outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus. Meanwhile, a criminal investigation into BSGR's Guinean activities that stretches across three continents is still going. Frederick Sillin served his sentence for obstructing the US investigation and was deported to France in February. He flew home without facing charges in relation to the underlying allegations of corruption and money laundering that a New York grand jury is weighing. Mamadi Touré, the widow of the dictator who granted BSGR its rights, remains in the US, where she's cooperating with prosecutors. She's also had some of her property confiscated. No charges have been brought against BSGR, Benny Steinmetz, or anyone else in the US corruption investigation or in a parallel investigation in Switzerland. Everybody's waiting to see what the next big development will be in the US case, the Swiss case, or any of the other legal battles, or whether some new player will enter the fray. When that happens, we'll be back with another episode of this podcast. Until then, we'll be watching out for the saga of Simandou to take its next twist. Thanks for listening. The music was by Ghanaian master drummer Mamadi Keita Djebofola. The producer was Fiona Simon. To read more FT investigations, go to ft.com/investigations.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.